This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
It's great to have as our guest today, Peter Schiff. Peter's head of Euro-Pacific Capital. He's the author of Crash Proof, his most recent book, The Little Book of Bull Moves and Bear Markets. And he's, of course, a frequent guest on television, on financial TV shows. And Peter, I noticed that in the past, they weren't as, how shall I say, respectful of you as they should have been, as you've continued to tell the truth, just like Ron Paul, about all the things that were going on in our economy. But I imagine these days they're salaming you and kowtowing to you.
Not really. I mean, I get some a little bit more respect from some people, but by and large, I mean, a lot of the mainstream media who ignored the things that I was saying years ago still ignore me today. And a lot of the people who were laughing at me, snickering, were saying that the things that I was saying were impossible, you know, they're still held up in pretty high regard, and the media still looks to these same guys for answers, even though they had no idea that we had a problem.
Peter, I can't believe the unanimity of opinion on this. In fact, I can't also believe that the Federal Reserve is never mentioned in connection with the troubles or in connection with this bailout.
No, in fact, the people still look to the Fed as the savior, and they still don't understand its role in creating this problem. I mean, the Fed did this to us. I mean, the Fed is the one that moved interest rates down so low and kept them there. But the whole government, I mean, it was the government that encouraged it and cheerled this whole consumer-based economy, this whole borrow and spend, go out there and borrow money, buy cars you can't afford, buy houses you can't afford, run up your credit cards, keep spending, don't let a recession happen. You know, that's why we're in this mess. We're broke because we did exactly what the government wanted us to do.
Well, Peter, here they are. They've bailed out, what, to the extent of probably $700 billion. That's probably not the end of it. What's going to be the result of all this new money and credit into the system?
Inflation. I mean, that's the only result that we can have. I mean, the government, everybody wants the government to bail everybody out. But the reality is the government doesn't have any money. I mean, all it does is print money, and it doesn't do anything about the losses. The losses are still there. Nothing that the government does is going to change that fact. They might change the way the losses are distributed or dispersed among the population so that maybe some of the Wall Street firms and the banks that are holding all this paper will lose a little bit less. But whatever losses they don't suffer is going to be borne by somebody else, either in the form of higher taxes or, more likely, in the form of reduced purchasing power of their wages and their savings.
What do you think is ahead? I mean, do we actually face hyperinflation?
I think it's a mess. Unfortunately, you know, the more and more I see what they're doing, the more likely it is that the worst-case scenario is going to take place. Because, you know, the more the worse the problem gets, the more government we get. And the more government we get, the bigger they make the problem. And so we're going to continue down this a never-ending, you know, spiral of bigger government, bigger problems. You know, look at the moral hazard of what they've just passed. This new bailout bill is going to result in the immediate spike of the mortgage delinquencies, because what the government is now telling people is stop making your mortgage payments. That is the exact moral hazard of this bill, and that is going to happen. And not paying your mortgage is going to be the national pastime, because according to this bill, the minute you stop paying your mortgage, what's probably going to happen is the lender will sell that mortgage to the government. The minute the government buys this non-performing asset, which is the mortgage that you're no longer paying, according to the bill, the government is supposed to try the best they can to keep you in your home and not foreclose, including reducing the value of what you owe, lowering your payment, or extending the term of your mortgage. So the message is clear right now. If you have a mortgage, stop making your payments, and you can live payment-free probably for a year or two, and then you can expect a call from a bureaucrat offering to reduce your mortgage to get you to stay in your house. And so, you know, this guarantees that this is not a $700 billion problem. This will be a $2 or $3 trillion problem or more. And this is not going to be the first time that Paulson or the Secretary of Treasury is on bended knee to the Congress. They're going to be going back again and again and again. As soon as they flush this $700 billion down the toilet, they're going to be asking for more.
Peter, are they stupid? Are they malign? Do they just not believe there's such a thing as economic law, that they just can proclaim anything from D.C.?
They believe their own nonsense. They think that the government can save us. See, you see a lot of people out there now, a lot of the congressmen I'm seeing on TV are actually saying, if the government doesn't step in, our economy is going to collapse.
Yes.
That we're going to it's going to be another depression if they don't step in. Now, number one, that shows that over the years when I was forecasting this that I was right. When they were telling me, oh, no, that can never happen, they're now agreeing that if the government doesn't take action, that this is going to happen. But if that's the case, if we really are on the precipice of this Great Depression, there's no government program that's going to save us. What can they do? All they have is a printing press. How can printing money save us? How can it do anything but lead to disaster? If it worked, if printing money worked, then Zimbabwe would not be in the mess that it's in.
Peter, it seems like they're just looking at the Hoover-Roosevelt playbook and doing exactly what they did to lengthen and deepen the Great Depression.
Of course, and they don't even realize that that's what they're doing. They got this guy in there, Ben Bernanke, who fancies himself a Depression expert. He doesn't understand the first thing about the Depression. And he doesn't know why we had it. He does, you know, and he thinks the solution is just more government, that we need lower interest rates and more inflation, that if the central bank would have just printed enough money in the 1930s, that we wouldn't have had a depression. And that's not true. The reason that we had that depression is, number one, the Fed inflated the stock market bubble in the 1920s, just like it inflated the stock market and housing bubble this time around. And instead of allowing the free market to work and restore balance to the economy, purge all the excesses, Hoover and then Roosevelt came up with one program after another meant to alleviate the pain, meant to make things better. And it was all the government interference that lengthened that recession and created the Great Depression. They're going to do the same thing again, only this time we're coming at it. We're not on a gold standard. We're no longer a manufacturing economy with a high savings rate. So we can't afford the foolish New Deal type programs that we could afford back then. And so the damage to our economy this time around could be fatal, because what they're going to do is destroy the currency. And if they think we've got economic problems now, wait till they see how big these problems become when our money is worthless.
Obviously, we're all going to get poorer. At least maybe some of the people connected to the government, that won't be true. But the average person is going to get poorer through the inflation and all the other things the government is visiting on us. What can the average Joe do? Is there anything that the average person can do?
Now, I mean, look, obviously, if you own a house, you can stop making your mortgage payment. I mean, obviously, that's obvious. The question is, what do you do with the money that you save on mortgage payments and rent? I would say buy gold. Maybe you can get your money out of the dollar. You can certainly stock up on food products that won't perish. Because I think what's coming, I think in the next 4 years, we're going to see price controls. I think we're going to see price of clothes on a host of things. Because the result of what the government is doing is massive inflation. Then the government, in typical government fashion, is going to attack the symptom of the inflation and not the cause. So they're going to start putting price controls on all sorts of things that they think are too important for American citizens, like gasoline or like maybe milk or bread or certain kinds of staples, which means that those things are going to be in short supply and they're going to be scarce and hard to come by. And so you might as well buy them now while you can.
Peter, we already see in Atlanta it's very, very difficult to get gasoline because of the so-called anti-price gouging laws that they've passed. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, well, it's not price gouging. When the government creates inflation, prices go up. I mean, the gouging is coming from the Federal Reserve. They're the ones that are printing all the money.
We're going to see price and wage controls a la Nixon.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to need wage controls, because I don't think wages are going up. I mean, that's a sad reality, that our economy is now so uncompetitive that we're not going to get the wage increases like we had in the 1970s, just the price increases. You know, I like the way the politicians are trying to sell this on us like it's a good thing. They're saying, hey, we don't have to worry because prices are rising, but wages aren't, so we don't have to worry. Oh, gee, that's really comforting for people who are earning wages.
What about exchange controls and capital controls?
That's coming. That's coming down the line. No question about it. At some point, you know, that's why I'm trying to urge my clients, you know, not to worry about the short term, just to get as much money out of the dollar as they can right now while it's legal. Because ultimately, there will be a flight from U.S. financial assets. I mean, that is coming. Right now, everybody is rushing towards U.S. financial crisis assets. I don't know why. That's like just a giant blast, and everybody is running towards the explosion. Pretty soon, they're going to figure out that they need to turn around and run in the other direction. And then there's going to be a stampede to get out of the dollar. And, of course, the government is going to try to stop that. The government is going to pass laws that are going to impede the ability of American citizens to protect their wealth by buying foreign assets, by buying gold, by buying foreign currencies. It's going to happen. What form it takes, you don't know, whether it's going to be punitive taxes on these transactions or just outright limitations on what you can do or banning what you can do. But it's going to come. It's coming.
Peter Schiff, thanks for all you've done to warn about this and to try to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. If more people would just, pick up some of my books, the earlier one, Crash Proof in particular, and I got the new one, and just spread it around. Get people to read it. get people to understand why we're in this mess, that this is not the free market failing. This is government failing. This is central government planning. This is the central bankers. This is, you know, if we had limited government, if we followed the Constitution, if the government did what it was supposed to do, if we had sound money, if we were on the gold standard, none of this would have happened. We'd be a far wealthier country today. We wouldn't be on the eve of financial Armageddon. And unfortunately, you know, it's the free market, it's capitalism that has taken the blame.
It seems to me that we're already in a fascist economy, maybe a soft fascist economy. But yeah, the trend is absolutely towards totalitarianism in terms of civil liberties, in terms of the economy.
Right, but that trend is about to be accelerated fast in its economic crisis. And of course, governments love a crisis because they can seize additional power. They scare the voters into surrendering their liberties to government because the government is going to protect them from this crisis. And they don't understand that the government has created the crisis. And the more power we give the government, the worse we make it for ourselves.
Peter Schiff, thanks very much for telling us the truth today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.